Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
That was played specifically for the man that is on the phone with us here this morning, Congressman Trey Gowdy. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful, Ann. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. You know, I have a lot of things I want to talk about with you, but I wanted to play just a real short clip from an interview we did. Actually, it was a year ago, and I just want your reaction to this once you hear this about what you said. Hold on just a second. Here it comes.
After Fast and Furious, I'm sure I will fade back to the anonymity I so richly deserve.
Congressman Gowdy, do you remember that?
I do. Little did I know that this administration would have scandal after scandal after scandal. So they have not allowed me to fade back into that anonymity yet. But I'm hopeful that one of these days you and I can talk about something other than the latest executive branch scandal. But right now we can't.
Well, how'd you like that, though? Pretty neat, huh?
You have a good memory.
Well, you are one of our favorite rock stars from South Carolina here, and Trey, I cannot commend you enough for the things that you're doing for all of us out there. It's just frightening to see what is happening with the IRS, and I tell you what, you being on point when Lois Lerner was taking the fifth after reading that document, where exactly is this going now?
Well, Chairman Issa has got a couple of options. I mean, he can obviously call her back, but Ann, she would then invoke, and she wouldn't make the same mistake she made last time. She would say nothing. Now, without getting too down in the weeds with respect to constitutional law, every answer to every question is not incriminating. If I were to ask you your name, that's not necessarily incriminating what your rank is. So we could play that out. We could ask her questions and make her invoke on a question-specific basis, and the chairman may do that. He does have the option of holding her in contempt, but if what you want is answers and what you want are facts and evidence, then I would submit we probably need to do what Ways and Means is going to do next week, which is start with the folks in the Ohio field office and then work your way up to the supervisors like Lerner and Shulman and Miller. That's the way you work most criminal investigations, and that's kind of what I consider this to be.
Absolutely. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper out there, doesn't it, Trey?
It does, and it's sad. You know, politics aside, reasonable minds differ on politics. That's fine. But when you can no longer trust your government, what they tell you about Benghazi, the fact that they target you based on your political views, that begins to be a real threat to the republic. When you cannot trust people you put in positions of leadership, you would think that there would be outrage. And with respect to IRS, there probably is outrage on both sides. But that's primarily because nobody's going to defend the IRS. It's not as if they were popular before this latest scandal. They weren't.
Right. But then, of course, the lawsuit was filed with the Tea Party organizations, even over there. The Lawrence Tea Party, right here in South Carolina, is part of the lawsuit, too.
Yes, ma'am, and there's a lawyer named Jay Sekulow that does a really good job for religious groups and conservative groups. And there are certain things you can get in litigation through discovery that are helpful in terms of presenting the case. But really, almost every day, something else comes out about a group that was targeted. Shulman went to the White House more than any cabinet-level official. I'm not 100% positive, but I think there's only one Easter egg hunt a year. So I don't know how that explains the other 150 visits, other than maybe someone in the White House knew more than we've been led to believe they knew.
Sure. And what do you think about, well, where is Holder in all this? It looks pretty bad for him.
Well, Holder has managed to put himself where the Republicans think he ought to go, the Democrats think he ought to go, and the media thinks that he ought to go. So he may be polishing up his resume. I tell you, and you know what I used to do for a living?
Yes.
I've got a lot of prosecutors that don't necessarily share my politics, but I think they're phenomenal prosecutors. I met a sheriff last night in Polk County who happens to be a Democrat. I just put law enforcement and the criminal justice system kind of way above politics.
Sure.
And when you politicize the Department of Justice as he has done, it is heartbreaking for those of us that care about that profession.
Absolutely. So what's the next step with Holder?
Well, Holder's got some explaining to do. You know, he came before House Judiciary a couple of weeks ago and used very broad phrases like, that's not something I've ever been involved with or heard of. And lo and behold, he was not only involved with it and had heard of it, he signed it. So he's been asked by Chairman Goodlatte and Chairman Sensenbrenner to explain that comment he made before House Judiciary. The media, as you probably have read, has refused to have the off-the-record conversation that he wanted, which is good for them. I think Holder is going to look to gracefully exit stage left, and we're going to continue to look at whether or not he misled Congress. Now, it's hard. I mean, just like in life, it's hard to prove someone lied. It's not hard to prove they were wrong, but it's that intent. It's like when a child or a friend tells you something, you know, what's the difference between a mistake, an innocent misrecollection, a lie, perjury? All of that is really fact-specific, and it's at a certain point, I think the administration would like us to go off on a tangent and get our eye off of the ball. And the ball for me is Benghazi and the IRS scandal. It might much more so than the AP.
Sure. You know, and that brings us to the next question. You know, President Obama out this is just like he is totally outside of this. Yesterday, up there doing a fundraising in Chicago, he doesn't even seem to be in what is happening. What is the feeling of you and the, you know, Republican Party? What's happening?
Shame on us for letting him get away with it. And you know, Ann, just like you provide oversight and accountability, Congress is supposed to provide oversight and accountability, but the real oversight is done by the voters. And I know the voters in South Carolina got it right, but the voters nationally 6 months ago had a chance to have a new attorney general, a new chief executive, a new commander-in-chief, a new secretary of state, and we didn't take advantage of the opportunity. So as long as we let him get away with saying, I'm going to take credit for everything good that happens, good weather, well-trained Navy SEALs, increased jobs, I'm going to take credit for everything good that happens, but if anything bad happens, I didn't know about it. First I heard about it was when I saw it on the news. Shame on us for letting any leader get away with being so intellectually incurious as to only want to hear about good things.
Sure. I just can't believe that it seems at this point he should just step up and do what's necessary to get this resolved so the whole country can go on. If we don't, this takes everything out of doing the things that are necessary to help our country and get it back on track.
Well, let me ask you this, Ann. Do you know where he was on the evening of September 11th?
Yes, sir, I do. I believe he was, quote, somewhere in the White House.
All right, but we don't know what he was doing.
Right.
We don't know who he was talking to. And I'm telling you, I mean, this is why it really ought to be bigger than politics. I mean, The people who listen to you or the people in South Carolina who have a different political bent ought to care just as much where the commander-in-chief was as House Republicans. I promise you, if there were a Republican in the White House, we would legitimately be asking, what did you do? When did you do it? It's you know, that's why the IRS scandal has the potential to be most damaging, is because no one is going to defend the IRS. Now, there will be people who defend the president. There will be people who say it's really none of our business, or as Dan Pfeiffer said, it's irrelevant where the president was on September the 11th.
Exactly.
I mean, irrelevant.
It's hard to believe that this is where we're at, and we're still discussing, what is it, 8 months later now, we're still discussing the same point. Where was the president? It would seem at this point he might as well just come out and say, hey, folks, I was, right?
Well, it'll be 9 months next week.
9 months, okay.
And that's the pattern in Washington, is to delay, obfuscate, have this so-called accountability review board look into it, conclude nothing. And then the next mantra is, well, that was a long time ago. It's time for us to move on. We've learned our lessons. But the reality is we've learned nothing because we have no idea what happened. So it's incumbent upon us to not allow that to happen. Washington has such a short attention span. Do you remember the GSA scandal?
Yes,
with that
I do.
Dude sitting in a hot tub drinking wine?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, we have a hearing. We flail our arms. We introduce some bills. Somebody's fired. Then a judge reinstates them. I mean, that's what you cannot allow to happen. You can't allow them to run out the clock on Benghazi or the IRS. I promise you, what the administration wants right now is a fight over the debt ceiling or a fight over immigration. They want something to take people's minds off of this dark triad of scandals.
Well, I guess that's in the Republicans' court, isn't it, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Shame on us if we let it happen.
Exactly.
You're exactly right.
Yes. So what is the status now since we've had the IRS one? Benghazi hasn't been, I don't think, as much on the front burner. What is happening with Benghazi?
Well, Benghazi, I'm happy to report, despite the fact that there hasn't been a public hearing, there's been a lot of activity, and the activity is actually most calculated to get us facts. Daryl sent a subpoena to the State Department asking for all correspondence, all emails, leading up to the drafting of these false talking points, and he sent a subpoena to Ambassador Pickering, who co-chaired the so-called Accountability Review Board, and we're going to depose him. And I know depositions sound less sexy because they're not on television and you don't get to see the back and forth, but it's really a much better way of getting information because you're not limited to 5 minutes. You can take 5 days if you want to in a deposition. So if you want to find out the facts, the right way to do it is with a deposition. And Daryl is not going to let up on making the State Department provide us with the information that we requested.
Will you be doing part of the deposing?
That'll be done by staff lawyers, OGR lawyers. But I know them, and they're good, and they're thorough. And they also deposed Greg Hicks. And when I read the deposition to Greg Hicks, that's what actually, frankly, helped me be able to draft my questions, because I only get 5 minutes. I mean, if they asked me to sit on the deposition, I'd be thrilled to do it. But there are teams of lawyers that work for each of these committees, and most of the lawyers are much better lawyers than I am.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. I mean,
trust me.
Well, Trey, but, you know, when that moment happened with Lois Lerner and Daryl Issa was letting her go, I mean, you jumped right in. You had case and verse there.
Well, I had actually mentioned to Chairman Issa that I thought this was coming, and Daryl has a lot of great qualities. He has been a phenomenal committee chairman, but he'd be the first to tell you, Ann, and he'd brag about it, he's not a lawyer. I mean, that's not his background.
Sure.
So it's our job to let him know if a legal issue is coming up, and I had let him know it, and then she did what I thought she was going to do, and so I just wanted to point out publicly what I had privately already pointed out to him. And to his credit, after she was dismissed, he went and researched it and got the lawyers from the oversight staff to research it, and he concluded, at least in this one limited instance, that I was correct. And there are law professors like Alan Dershowitz, who probably don't agree with me on much of anything, who think that we were correct, that she waived. So, you know, Daryl's got to juggle. In a court of law, it's all about the law. In a committee room. It's part law, it's part politics, it's part policy. It is a more difficult decision to make. You know, legally, I think I was right. Politically, you know, her lawyer's not going to let her make that same mistake. Do you want to go the route of contempt, or do you want to go the route of building up from folks whose names we don't know? Somebody sent the first letter, and somebody made the first decision to target conservative groups, and we need to build a case towards whoever that somebody was, and everyone else who was involved will also be discovered during that process. But starting with the supervisors and then working your way down never works. It doesn't work in real life, and it doesn't work in a committee of Congress. We need to start with the nameless, faceless folks who work for the IRS who were part of this insidious scheme. And once you expose them to legal jeopardy or criminal exposure, it's amazing how much they know at that point.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it also broke out the other day about the credit cards and how much money the IRS employees have been spending. I mean, it looks to me like this organization is just totally out of control. And do you have any idea on anything on that, Trey? Or?
Oh, yes. There is a lot of discussion of tax reform. There should have been discussion of tax reform well before this scandal, but a lot of discussion of that, a lot of discussion because the IRS is the agency that is going to be looked to implement the so-called Affordable Care Act. And again, there are no defenders for the IRS. Now, whether or not a Republican-controlled House and a Democrat-controlled Senate and White House are going to be able to agree on a reduced role for the IRS, it may well be, and I know your listeners do not like hearing this, but my obligation is to tell you the truth. This is what elections are about. And a third of the Senate and the entire House is up again next year. And if you want a reduced role for the IRS, you need to factor that in to who you decide you're going to support.
Well, it's a shame, though, that Trey, that everything comes down to politics, isn't it? It just seems like we should be doing what's right for our country.
Well, with IRS, there is the chance that there's been bipartisan outrage. But who wouldn't be outraged? I mean, I'm not going to give anybody much credit for being outraged at this. The real question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, is the answer, as I sometimes hear, well, we need more funding. Or my favorite, we need better training. If you need to be trained not to break the law, then you shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
Well, it is something that I think is going to just be scandal after scandal. Do you know if any other scandals are coming out? Because we are just about on overload with scandals, Trey.
Well, I was thinking about trying to hire some more staff to keep up with all the scandals, but sequestration kind of cut into that. So I'm sure that there are things that I don't know and you don't know right now that we would find very interesting. Will they rise to the level of this? Yeah, I mean, there's one right now percolating with Kathleen Sebelius and the Affordable Care Act. And so we need to be disciplined like we were in the Benghazi hearing. We need to be principled. We need to not fall victim to you know, rushing to a discussion of punishment before you've established the facts of culpability. The media and the Democrats will lay all these traps because they're trying to get your average American who doesn't follow politics as closely, perhaps, as your listeners to kind of say, well, this is all politics. There's nothing to this. Our job is to say, this got nothing to do with politics. This is about the future of the country and what you want government to look like and be like and act like. So we've got to handle the scandals responsibly. I come from a courtroom. I like to handle things like we run the courtroom. Facts, evidence, persuade. That's the way I think we ought to do it. Sometimes you can do it in one hearing, and sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. So we got to be disciplined, and we have to be persistent and vigilant.
I just wondered, have you heard anything about having a board of scandals out there that limits the number of scandals that come out at any one time?
I think Daryl Issa would tell you that's what oversight is for. But but we are inundated with scandals right now. So That's part of Congress's job, is to provide the oversight. It'd be great if we could do it before the scandal happened, but it's absolutely imperative that we do it once we find out about it. So we need I keep using the word disciplined. We need to be disciplined, persistent, not go chasing headlines. I mean, Benghazi kind of ebbed and flowed, but we stuck with it. And finally, more and more of our fellow citizens are saying, you know what, there is something to this. And it's been 9 months.
Absolutely. Congressman Trey Gowdy, you keep up the good fight up there. We appreciate what you do up there, and thank God you're from South Carolina. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. This bye-bye. Is bye-bye.